Christ present here to heal every sickness, disease, and infirmity. Thank you because this gathering is unto edification. Thank you because we are inspired, motivated once again. Thank you because faith is birthed in our hearts and we are willing to do and continue to do that which is written concerning us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. And as always, we hold the scriptures in high esteem and we recognize and pay homage to the Lordship and the authority of the scriptures. Thank you because revelation is ours. We give you praise and all of the glory in Jesus' name and amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. All right, you can have your seat. Glory to God. Okay, we'll just quickly take on the teaching we just began, handling the scriptures rightly. And of course, last time we didn't exhaust the whole study or the sermon notes, and would like to do that today. And we have to finish that part. Amen. So I believe that we only touched 2 Timothy 3:14-17, right? Did we get to 2 Timothy 2? Not at all. Okay, so 2 Timothy 3:14-17. 2 Timothy 3:14-17, but continue down the things thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. And we spent most, if not all of the time, in observing and examining these four verses. Amen? Amen. So Paul tells his son in the faith, who was not only his son at that time, but was also a leader, a pastor in Ephesus. Okay? So he wrote this letter to him, of course, and charged him to continue in the things that he has learned. I remember we said that that will be doctrine and practice, right? Doctrine and Christian practice. So it will not only be doctrine, that is a body of knowledge, it will also be the pattern of ministry or service to God. Amen? The things that you have learned, continue in them. Remember the word learned, manthano, which is to learn or understand or to increase in knowledge or be increased in knowledge. Okay, to learn by use and practice. So that's always an instruction or an exhortation that we will always have. Continue. Amen? Okay. Also, don't only learn. Be assured of what you're learning. Okay? So learning can be the opportunity we all have to be taught or to learn something as learning. That is, something is communicated to you and you received it, all of us can have that equal opportunity, okay, if we speak from the perspective of the local church. But all of us may not have the equal, yes, we, don't get me wrong, we have that equal opportunity to understand, but all of us may not have that equal opportunity to be assured of. In other words, it now has to do with individual what's the word to use now? Individual approach to the things that we have learned. Yes, the local church is set up not only to teach you, but also to bring you to assurance, okay? But a lot has to do with your you're being responsible, let me put it that way. You're being responsible and dutiful with what you've learned. So there's a need for you to be assured or to come to assurance of what you're learning. Okay? We will always have that admonition, that exhortation, and that instruction. So always take note of that. And of course, verse 15, 16, and 17, so that we don't take more. Well, I could just quickly run through that since we have spent time to do that, and then just a brief recap. Remember in 15, we said that the word child there, brephos, and that has to do with spiritual infancy. That's the context of its usage in this verse. Not that brephos always refers to spiritual infancy. No. Brephos refers to infancy, an infant, a babe, a newborn child. But the context in verse 15 is spiritual infancy. When you came into the faith, or since you came into the faith, from that time, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Okay? Remember the word know, to be aware, discover, or to experience. And don't forget Holy Scriptures, Eros Grama. And that simply is to say, sacred writings, right? Or sacred learnings. Sacred writings or sacred learning. You've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make wise. Remember, make wise sophizo. If I'm too fast, you can just get back to your previous notes and mark. But if I'm not too fast, you'll take it again. That's not too much to do. Amen? Sophizo, to render wise, to have understanding. Of course, to render wise from the perspective of the one communicating or passing across knowledge will be to teach. To teach. To make wise. To teach. Okay? So the scriptures are able to render wise, make wise, or teach. That is why 16 will say all scripture, past graphe, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching. It is helpful or advantageous or to the advantage of teaching. Praise God. So, what you must get from that is this. No knowledge in this book is wasted. Amen? No knowledge in this book is wasted. There's no part of this book to overlook. It's all given for teaching.
Okay? Or it's all given that it may be profitable for teaching. That it may be profitable for teaching. And then, of course, in 16, remember, prosdidaskalia, toward or to the advantage of teaching or instruction. And then proselenkos, that's conviction, toward conviction, and then proepanothosis, restoration to an upright or right state, or the other one, improvement of life and character. That's correction. Improvement of life and character. And then prospaideia, that has to do with tutorage or education or training. Okay? So, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching. When taught, it is towards conviction. When there's conviction, it is towards improvement of life and character. When there's improvement of life and character, you can say towards training or education or tutorage. Okay? So that would essentially mean that wholesomely or entirely a man is educated in righteousness. Not in a topic, not in an area, but the goal of the entire body of knowledge is to render the entire man educated, trained, tutored in righteousness. Does that make sense? And of course, verse 17, we observe two words, perfect and truly furnished. I remember the word atios, perfect, that we saw to be fitted, F-I-T-T-E-D, fitted, or remember the other definition, special aptitude for given uses. Okay? Another word that you can use for that is skilled. That is, he's skilled. He has the right knowledge, the right aptitude. Remember when they say aptitude test? Right? They just want to test your ability to reason quickly, to see if you are sharp. You know, aptitude test. You don't find explain what is the definition of, no, just give you things that you should just reason quickly. Say, no, not just this one in school, they are, sorry, aptitude. Amen. That's cognitive faculty where you are able to, put to use what you have learned. You are dexterous with your knowledge and learning. Amen? Okay. So the scriptures, when you are well taught, or when well handled, puts a man, a preacher, of course, or a man sent of God to preach, in that state of having special aptitude for giving usage. Puts a man in that state. Ability to be fruitful with the knowledge of God. Amen, amen. And lastly, thoroughly furnished, exartizo. E-X-A-R-T-I-Z-O. A word that simply means to equip fully. And that's from the perspective of a teacher. To equip fully. Fully equipped. Fully armed. To now do that work of causing others to learn. Amen, amen. Okay, so 2 Timothy chapter 2. I believe that's sufficient recap. Chapter 2 and verse 15. From verse 14, it says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Then it says, study, verse 15. Study. Okay? That word study is the word spoudazo. Spoudazo. That's the verb form. The noun of that word is spoude. S-P-O-U. Okay? That's how it's spelled. S-P-O-U. D-A-Z-O, spoudazo, spoude, is just S-P-O-U-D-E. Spoudazo is a word that means to make effort. It has to do with promptness, that is, be prompt. Don't forget, it's a verb. To make effort, be prompt, be earnest. E-A-R-N-E-S-T, right? To give diligence or be diligent. Okay? So, in the Greek, it sounds be diligent. So, like we always say, the point here is not firstly to take your Bible or take the scriptures and read and study. The point here is the manner or the attitude. It has to do with diligence. It says be diligent. So study will come under that, but it has to do with everything ministry. Where Timothy, the man he writes to, is concerned. The pastor of the church at Ephesus. So it says be diligent. Of course, by the time you read it through, you see that it was putting his attention to his duty as a Bible teacher or his responsibility as a Bible teacher because of his pastoral office. Because of the pastoral office he occupies. So he says, be diligent to show thyself approved. The word show is the word paristemi, paristano. Two words. P-A-R-I-S, or you can say Paris, and temi. T-E-M-I. And then paristano, T-A-N-O. Paristano. It's a word that means to exhibit. To exhibit. To profile. That is, I'm sure you are used to the word proffering a solution, okay? So maybe there's a problem, and then someone needs to proffer a solution. So it means there's a challenge, we're trying to find a way, or find our way around this, then someone brings to light the way to go, okay? It brings forth, it proffers, okay? So exhibit, proffer, or recommend. That's the word show. Now, another definition of that word is to be at hand or ready. To be at hand or ready. Now, whether you use show thyself or exhibit, prefer, recommend, be at hand already. I usually like to take all the words that can help us. You know, there are certain words that the context of their usage, not because they change in meaning, but the context of their usage is what gives them the meaning, so to say. Not because the words change with usage and say, you know, whatever, I will just put it here and it will derive that. No. In other words, it depends on what you are saying at that time, what you are referring to, okay? If it has to do with something that you need to exhibit, it will carry that meaning. If it has to do with preferring a solution, it will carry that meaning. If it has to do with recommendation, right, it will carry that meaning. If it has to do with being ready or being at hand, you know, but at times, a number of those words, if you take them all together, it helps you to have a full view, right, of what it is saying. So it says, be diligent to show thyself approved. So that means that your diligence will make you ready for the task. Hey, does that make sense? Your diligence will make you ready for the task. So let's assume you have an opportunity or privilege to teach. When you are diligent in preparation, that's your readiness. Amen? You become ready to then carry out that task. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If it has to do with maybe certain duties in spiritual things, for instance, just say, if you want to get filled quickly, go and meet sister so and so, right? That fellow has been diligent in that area over time. Say, we're having a prayer meeting, though, and then we've been praying, everybody is just looking tired, there's no ginger. Bring sister so and so into the picture now, all right? Diligence in that area, then brings about, say, recommendation. Are you there? Readiness. Glory to God. Say, I'm not sure what step to take. Talk to brother so and so. You know, when you get to brother so and so, just a tongue. That's all. It gives a tongue. The interpretation follows, and God is speaking to you already. Amen? All right. So diligence in the context in verse 15 is a Bible teacher. How do we know that? In verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay. So the diligence will be in handling the scriptures rightly so that you can present the word of truth. So the workman will be a teacher. A preacher. Okay? So let me give you that word now. A workman. Let's slow down. The word approved, dokimos. That simply means acceptable. 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 To show thyself acceptable unto God. I say, he's fit. Is qualified to speak on my behalf, acceptable unto God. Be diligent to show thyself, to make yourself ready, to exhibit, recommend, prefer, acceptable unto God. Praise God. I just remember the video I saw. Simple arithmetic the guy was trying to solve. Of course, creating content. Anyway, but simple. 16 minus 9. 16 minus 9. He now open bracket. 4 plus 3. One bracket into another bracket. 4 minus 3. So he now canceled, did every multiplied, and at the end of the day, it was now left with 16 minus 9. So then I said, so you put 16 on top, 9 below, then 16 minus 9, then put a line under, then again wrote 16 minus 9. Then you kept going on 16 minus 9, 16 minus 9, 16. Okay? Is that one acceptable? Of course not. Is it doing something? Yes. By the time it started, 16 minus 9. And then open bracket, 4, no, first of all, 4 squared, right, minus 3 squared. Then 4 plus 3, bracket, 4 minus 3, close bracket. Then, you know, 4 times 4, 16. 4 times 3, 12. 4 minus 3, minus 12. Then 3 times 3, 9. Minus 3 times plus 3, 9. So, plus 12 minus 12 cancel each other, then 16 minus 9. What's that? Give me the answer, let's move on. You know, it started as though it was about to help us, but it took us back to square one. Okay? So, diligence makes you acceptable. Acceptable unto God. And a lot of time, that acceptance before God yields results with men. I remember years ago, we went for midweek service, and then we finished so late, okay? And then three of us went somewhere to spend the night. And then we spent the night there. We woke up in the morning and just trying to prepare. The person in whose house we went to spend the night had an uncle, or has an uncle, who is Muslim. And then he had had several experiences with Christians, including Christian leaders. And he said he has a question that nobody has been able to answer. And he went as far as saying he has had experiences with Christians, even pastors. None of them has been able to answer the question. That he even had the time, he was outside the country, he needed money, you know, some pastors made him to come to church, wait for hours, and they still didn't help him. This one, that one, that one. So he talked many talks. He said, how is Jesus God? And so one of us started and just explained it to him. I said, wow, I've not heard this before. Then, I mean, his face lightened up and all of that. Then he went downstairs. His brother was going out. That's the owner of the house, right? Uncle, yeah, so. The father of the person in whose house that's his dad, which is the brother of the uncle, of course. He now went down. He was going out. He was renting the car. He had started the car, started the engine, and was going to drive out. He then went to meet him and said, do you know that Jesus is God? I said, and then he began to explain everything we said to him. He now came back upstairs and said, well, that very good, awesome, that the explanation was very clear. But we know he's a Muslim. He won't tell us if he's a Christian. Yes. Hallelujah. Man, we don't preach already. I've not told you if I'm Christian now, I'm still. I don't know, sir. We understand. While we saw him, we were upstairs, we saw him preaching downstairs, we began to rejoice. Whoa! Glory! Amen! Acceptable unto God. He just randomly met us. We didn't come in a convoy. We didn't look like, you know, men of God. But before God, don't let me say we. It was one person that thought. It was not me. All right? The person that thought was acceptable before God. That's the point I'm trying to make. Acceptable before God, because that yielded the result of opening up that heart to the gospel. He understood. He understood the message of Christ. Amen? And that is as a result of diligence. You find believers today, you say, how do you know I'm born again? The place I used to go, I go there no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. No, that's not why you're a Christian. Amen? Say, are you a Christian? I'm from a Christian home. My dad is a pastor. He saved you. Of course not. Okay? So, it takes diligence to be able to present the truth of God's word to men in its simplicity. So he says, be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, right? A workman. The word workman is the word ergates. E-R-G-A-T-E-S. E-R-G-A-T-E-S. Ergates. A word that literally means a laborer, a toiler. A laborer, a toiler. So figuratively here, this word is to represent a teacher. Praise God. A teacher. If Paul had used the word teacher here, would it have made sense? Yes. Okay. But why did he use workman? It is to describe the diligence of the teacher. Does that make sense? It is to describe the diligence of the teacher with the scriptures. A workman, a laborer. Praise God. Praise God. You know, today, some people still find it difficult to say, how can you just open the laptop, blah, 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 1 hour, and you have made $350? I know you are not robbing people. You know, upset. That's not hard work. I'm just doing some kind of things and all of that. See, go to the market. See the people under the sun. There from morning to, that's hard work. Okay? So a laborer, that's just used to describe the extent of work that goes into diligence with the scriptures and diligence with preaching and teaching. Make efforts. Don't forget, study. Give diligence. Be earnest. To show thyself approved unto God, a toiler, a laborer, that needed not to be ashamed. Remember that word? That needed not to be ashamed. Just one word in the Greek. Anepaiskuntos. 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 Okay, you got that? Okay. Having no cause to be ashamed. That's the word. Having no cause to be ashamed. or irreprehensible. Irreprehensible. Now spell that, no? I-R-R-E-P-R-E-H-E-N-S-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E is good enough for me. The B-I-B-L-E. Hope you are not confused. Okay. Irreprehensible is a word that simply means blameless or without blame. It's a word that means innocent. Innocent. Okay? Innocent. Then the last word we would observe is the word translated rightly dividing. Orthotomel. O-R-T-H-O-T-O-M-E-O. O-R-T-H-O-T-O-M-E-O. Orthotomel. Okay? It's a word that literally means to make a straight cut. That is, to dissect correctly. To make a straight cut, that is, to dissect correctly. To dissect correctly. Now, here are two other definitions. The first is to proceed on straight paths. To proceed on straight paths. Path. P-A-T-H. P-A-T-H-S. Okay? Straight paths. I don't know how those words are pronounced. Right? Path. There's a path, and you have to release your tongue and say, shh. How do you pronounce path? Path. 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 Paths. 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 If you pronounce it well, aside from you, I'll give you $100. Paths. Some people are just realizing that their tongue is hooking. They thought it was simple. Paths. Paths. Try now. Paths. Okay, you get it, right? I keep my $100. Amen. Okay, so proceed on straight paths or hold a straight course. Course will be C-O-U-R-S-E. Okay? C-A-U-S-E is pronounced cause. Okay? Course. Course. Or course. Course. To hold... Are you following this? To proceed on straight paths or hold a straight course. Now, the second one, that would be the third, right? Is to handle aright. Now, this is contextual. To handle aright. Or to teach the truth directly or correctly. To handle aright or to teach the truth directly or correctly. So, be diligent to show thyself approved or acceptable unto God, a workman or a teacher, a toiler, a laborer, that needed not to be ashamed, innocent, blameless, rightly dividing, handling rightly, handling aright. Are you following? Teaching the truth correctly. Teaching correctly the word of truth. Handling aright the word of truth. Does that make sense? So there's a diligence. I say this a lot on the media when maybe there's an error or a perceived error. You know, at times some will say this is error, whereas it's the truth they are calling error. So error, perceived error, okay? And then they say, folks, read the Bible for yourself. It's like saying, I mean, at times, that's how it sounds. I'm not saying all of the time. At times, it's okay to say that when you have some level of training in a local church. You are being taught there, read this thing yourself. Okay? But just randomly, everybody read the Bible. And say, it's like saying, get a PhD for yourself. Open your laptop, get a PhD. Okay? So, it takes a lot of diligence. That's my point. A lot of diligence. A lot. And please, don't be bamboozled by anyone. I remember years back, one who preached to a Muslim and he would say, you know, there are contradictions in the Bible and, you know, I'm already, contradiction, okay. And then just Second Kings, Second Kings. Of course, today, no shaking. Let's sit down and read it. That's the point. It's all, read together. In this portion, they said the fish was on the table. In that account, they said the fish was on the table, Abby. This one, the table was on the fish. That's your Bible. We'll sit down and read. Amen. Sit down and read. So, what I'm saying in essence is that the Bible, particularly the scriptures, have to be handled rightly and correctly. We have a particular teaching series, right? The Wisdom of God, right? The Wisdom of God that shows us how the Bible was crafted, the language, okay? And how the preachers had to teach and what is required to be able to see beyond the surface of the parables, okay? And the narratives. I mean, the Bible is parabolic or proverbial in nature. So it requires diligence. Settle down with it well so that God can find you acceptable when you teach. That is, you are saying what God was saying to the prophets or through the prophets. Or you are saying what God wanted to say to the prophets or through the prophets. And the way to arrive at what God was saying is to handle the scriptures rightly. To depend on the written word. To depend on the words, the language of the prophets. To arrive at the writer's intent. Remember, we concluded with that, right? Amen, amen? Okay, so 2 Timothy 2:15 helps us to see the responsibility or the need, at the least, to handle the scriptures rightly. The need. To handle the scriptures rightly. It says, handling rightly. That's rightly divided. Handling rightly the word of truth. Or teaching correctly the word of truth. In Luke chapter 24, I must finish the deal. This part. Let's move. Let's move, 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 move. Luke 24. Luke 24 and verse 25. Of course, this is Jesus, Cleopas, and the other disciple whose name wasn't mentioned. So in verse 25, Jesus responded to them by saying, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Now let's observe this a little bit. To see something in Jesus' response or answer to them. Why did he say, "O fools and slow of heart to believe"? Now, quickly, from 19, Jesus said, "What things?" Are thou only a stranger?" That's verse 18 in Jerusalem. "And don't know the things that come to pass there in these days." And he said to them, "What things?" And he said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him, but we trusted that it had been he which should redeem Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." Can you see their position? "But the scriptures are a testimony ahead of time concerning" what? "His sufferings and his glory." 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11. So that means if you take the scriptures and handle them rightly, you will see that the testimony of the prophets or the inspired utterances of the prophets was concerning the sufferings that Jesus would suffer and the glory that would follow that suffering, which simply means that he would die or he would suffer for the sins of mankind and he would be raised from the dead. Did Cleopas and the other disciples sound like they saw that in the scriptures play out before their eyes? No. So they were still sounding like, "This is what we are hearing, you know." It's not even that they went to the tomb, but the stone was still there. They couldn't roll it away. So we don't know what's happening in there. They said that they went there. They didn't see his body. They even saw vision of angels. The angels said he was alive. And they are still saying, "Guys, oh fools. Are you there? Oh fools. And slow of heart to believe." The word "fools" is the word anoetos. Sorry, anoetos. A-N-O-E-T-O-S. Anoetos. It simply means unintelligent. It also implies sensual or unwise. Unwise. Okay? Unintelligent. It implies sensual. It means unwise. That's the word "fools." Now, of course, in Bible interpretation, anoetes, then it says kai, slow of heart to believe. Of course, slow of heart is to explain fools. Okay? So, when he called them unintelligent or unwise, he meant slow of heart to believe all the prophets have said. Slow of heart. The word slow is the word brados. Not brabos. Brados. B-R-A-D-U-S. It means dull. Dull. D-U-L-L. Okay? That's the figurative expression of slow. Dull of heart. To believe. That is, it didn't occur to them. It didn't occur to them. So imagine, I was going out in the morning and I said, okay, I'll buy you a gift today. I said, oh, wow, thank you very much. And then I went out, maybe I was working or something, and in the course of the day, I just remembered, oh, I tend to buy a gift. Ah, I may not be able to arrive early enough. Then I call some vendor and I say, can you help me put this together? And say, please send it over to so-and-so. And then the gift arrives and say, and when they get to you, they say, from Jolaemi. And he say, oh, okay, he has a delivery. And then you collect it, and then you keep it. Let's assume it was food, and then you keep it. And then I arrive 9:30 p.m. at night and say, another came in by 2 p.m. I say, where is it? From 2. This is almost 10 o'clock. You didn't catch it. You didn't get it. It didn't add up since that this is the gift I said I will get to you. I said, this is your package. It was for you all along. Are you following? So it didn't. They didn't quickly add it up. They were saying everything that the scripture said, that the prophet said. I said, the women even went there. They even said they didn't see him. They even said they saw a vision of angels. And the angel testified that he was alive. And today is but the third day. I was just, oh fool, slow of heart, dull of heart to believe. So let's say, whoa! This is what he said. This is what the prophet said. This is what they implied. This is what they spoke about by the Spirit. Oh fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Verse 26. Ought not the Christ. Why would he say so? Because that was the testimony of the prophets from Genesis to Malachi. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things? Can't you see that Christ has now suffered the things that the prophet said he should suffer? And to enter into his glory, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You see that? And then he used the word expounded. That's the word diamenuo. Diamenuo. That's D-I-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-O. D-I-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-O. It's a word that means to explain thoroughly. It's a word that also means to translate. That is, to unfold the meaning of what is said. Or interpret. Again, to explain thoroughly or to translate. That is, to unfold the meaning of what is said. Or interpret. So he then took them through all that the prophets have spoken. That's beginning from Moses and all the prophets. See, don't forget 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Sorry, verse 25 particularly. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All that the prophets have spoken, he now took them through from Moses to the prophets, Genesis to Malachi. He now explained thoroughly unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So it came home to them that the events that played out in Jerusalem in the past few days is actually a fulfillment, a completion of what God had been saying through the prophets. Hallelujah. In verse 31, Luke 24, and their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. The word opened there is the same word used in Luke 24:45. They are no ego. As D-I-A-N-O-I-G-O. Dianoigo. To open thoroughly. To expound. That's figuratively. Okay? So their eyes were opened. So they saw. They were able to relate it. They were like, oh! So the promise you made when you were going out in the morning, when the package came in, now I get it. The food has been for me all along. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Are you there? Okay? So please follow the things that we are saying, because it is possible to have someone in that position today. Not in the position of, I'm not referring to a Christian in the position of, he does not understand the scripture, therefore it means that he's not born again. No. Okay? I'm referring to the experience of not able to see or have the scriptures come alive to you. Amen, amen? Are you there? Now, there's something I also want to show you about expounded. That word there, menu, is a word that means to translate. You remember we said that? But there's also another meaning. To translate into one's native language. To translate into one's native language. So that means that irrespective of the language in which the scriptures were written, understanding is when it comes home to you. It comes home to you. Amen? You know, you find lay hands, and it has to do with spiritual impartation in Bible. And you also find lay hands or put hands, and it has to do with spiritual impartation. You also have lay hands or put hands, and it has to do with beating. Amen? So, you will sit down and say, okay, this is the context of the writing. This is what you are saying at this point. Not that you just have one idea or your own language today, you read that into scriptural language. No! You sit down, understand what they are saying, and it makes sense to you in your language. Amen? 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 So, that word expounded, that's the duty of a teacher, right? Hey, come on, are you there? That's the duty of a teacher. So the teacher will take the scriptures and will make it to make sense to the people in their own native language. In their language. I'm not necessarily saying that changing Bible words, you know, trivializing certain words, bringing in colloquial and, pidgin words so that you can, in explanation and illustration, you can say this word is close to this or implies that, not changing, of course, Bible words. Okay, so it is important to note that in Bible teaching, you as a Bible preacher or teacher must first of all get Bible language. Then you now present it to the people that you are preaching or teaching in their native language. That's bringing scriptures home. or bringing understanding to the people that hear you. Amen? So the scriptures testify of Jesus. I need to close now. So just a few more. The scriptures testify of Jesus. Amen? John 1:45. Philip finding Nathanael and said unto him, we have found whom Jesus... we have found whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. John 5:39-40. Jesus said, search the scriptures for them to think you have eternal life, and their day will testify of me. And you're not coming to me and drink that you may have life. In the same chapter 5, John 5, verse 45 to 47. Jesus says, Moses wrote of me. If you had believed Moses, you believe me, for he wrote of me. So Moses was a prophet testifying of Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, Moses prophesied and said, God will raise a prophet like unto me, and him you will hear in all things, amen, amen, amen. Him you will hear in all things. That's another way of saying that Jesus Christ is the revelation, the explanation of all things. All things will be all the things that the prophets have spoken. I mean, the same way in Matthew 17, from verse 3 to 5, or just say from verse 1 to 5, my beloved son, well, please hear ye him. Or Hebrews 1:1 to 2. Then this last day spoken to us by his son. Okay? In Psalm 132 and verse 11. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. Amen, amen. As concerning Jesus, Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. Jeremiah 23 and 5. Yes, yes, closing now. Jeremiah 23 and 5. Where are you? Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Amen? As concerning Jesus, Ezekiel chapter 34, Ezekiel 34 and 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Verse 24, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, and a prince among them, I the Lord have spoken it. In Acts 3 and verse 18, Peter preaching. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Hallelujah. He hath so fulfilled. In 1 John 5:9-11, John saying that the testimony of God is that he has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that had the Son had life, he that had not the Son who had not life. So there's a way to read and understand, or teach and explain the scriptures. There's a way. Acts 8 from verse 30 to 37. The man was reading Isaiah 53, particularly verse 7. The Lord had beckoned on Philip to join his chariot. That's the eunuch coming from Jerusalem where he went to worship. And he read and he said, who is this man speaking about? Himself or some other man? Hallelujah. And of course, Philip replied and preached Jesus to him. But then you read to verse 37, the eunuch had believed that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? From the scriptures, he was cloudy. He was wondering who. Then Philip explained such that it was clear in the mind and in the heart of the eunuch that this man is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Luke 24, 44 to 46, Jesus explained the scriptures to a larger body of disciples, to his disciples, the 12 apostles, and the other disciples. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Because of time, we'll look at that later. So I'll close again like we closed the first time. In reading, understanding, and teaching the scriptures. Two things. Arriving at the writer's intent. Very key. You cannot be saying today what the writer was not saying. You cannot mean today what the writer never meant. The writer's intent. The pretext and post-text of any particular text, of any text. Number two, there's a message. God inspired men to speak to us. He had a message to deliver. When we study, read, teach and explain the utterances of the people that he inspired. If we don't arrive at the message, how do we say we understand? And the message of God is clear. Amen? Jesus Christ. That's his message. The man that gave up himself for humanity. The one who died and rose again. The one who was delivered up for our offenses. Raised up for our justification. Romans 4:25. The one who is God in humanity. In human form. Great is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16. God manifests in the flesh. John 1:14, and the word was made flesh. In John 1:1, it said, in the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word was God. God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Is the message. So if we study the utterances by God through his prophets, and we don't arrive at his message, what have we studied? So ultimately, Christ is God's message to man. So if the scriptures are not handled rightly, we lose the essence and the message of the scriptures given to us of God. Definitely we would arrive at a wrong destination. What God is not saying will eventually be saying. What God is not emphasizing will eventually be emphasizing. What God is warning us against, we may be putting our attention. In Revelation 3, verse 14 to 18, I just give this as an example. The Laodicean church, Jesus said, I know thy works. You are neither cold nor hot, lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth.
Why did he say they were lukewarm? Because they were saying they were rich, increased with goods. And there's nothing wrong in being rich, in being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with that. The point is, their attention, their focus had changed. Their confidence was now in their material prosperity, their material gain, the things that they had. I'll close with this. It comes to mind. I can't remember where I heard the story, but a preacher went to visit another preacher in their church, and then he took the visiting preacher on a tour, took him around. I've been able to do this. I can't remember the story, but something around that. He showed him everything, and everything had to do with their facility, the things they've been able to build, the things they've been able to put together, and all of that. At the end of that, you know, because that's what he presented to the preacher as what God has been able to do for them. There's nothing wrong in, you know, having the facilities and all of that. We trust God to have better facilities to be able to reach more people and all of that. And at the end of the day, we can say, you know, God did this for us. But that was all about the preacher. All that the preacher said, this, and everything had to do with building, material things and all of that. And the preacher just commented, just one statement. He said, wow, we've been able to do so much without God. Yeah. He just said that. And I hope that that sent a message to that preacher. Amen. Can liken that to the Laodicean church. They began to see that as the achievement. When they give the mic for testimonies, say, I'm grateful to God. Yesterday, I was led of God. I went out. I just found somebody. I just said, talk to this guy. This guy was about to kill himself. And he wasn't born again. And I preached to him, and he's born again. His tongue talking now. And I'm discipling him now. And then the whole place is quiet. I said, I thank God. I go to the office. They were about to sack me. Not only did they not sack me, they promoted me. Now my salary is in 7 figures. And the whole church, woo! I know that works. You think you are rich, not knowing you are wretched. Wretched, poor. Amen, amen. There's nothing wrong in wealth and riches, okay? But our focus and our attention must be on spiritual things. Especially in the local church. Amen? Especially in the local church. The scriptures, when well taught, helps our focus to be in the right direction. We focus on what God wants us to focus on. We value spiritual things. Life may be tough economically, financially, and when we have progress, achievements, accomplishments, breakthroughs in those areas, it's something to be happy and glad about, but it cannot be the core of our service to God. It cannot be the core of our worship. It cannot be the core of our Christian work. Amen? It cannot be. So when we handle the scriptures rightly, what God wants us to see, that's what we keep seeing. What He wants us to emphasize, that's what we'll be emphasizing. What He's warning us against, we stay away from it. What is telling us to press on in, find ourselves pressing on in such areas. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen. Let me just close here. We'll still talk some more and study some more. Amen. Lift your hands. Bless the Lord. Give him praise. Thank him, thank him, thank him. Thank him for the honor and the privilege to fellowship with him on the pages, from the pages of the Bible, that today I'm able to open the Bible, see and understand. And I have the privilege of being taught. Have the privilege of knowing God. And my heart today is quick and responsive to spiritual things. That today, my confidence is in the things that the prophets spoke, by which God inspired them. That today I don't trivialize the utterances of God through the ages. Thank him for that privilege and honor. And today I'm a sharer and a participant in what he promised since the beginning of the world. And I'm a co-laborer in the same. The same scriptures that Jesus our Lord depended on. And he went to hell for our sins. For our sins and our sakes. The same scriptures I depend on today and live my life upon. What a privilege to take God by his word, to hold on to God's word. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we give you praise.